already. That's a little overview video there. And I will say that that picture of me, that was actually me when I was 55 pounds lighter and as skinny as a beanpole. So that was me. So, but thanks to my wife for fattening me up there. But no, I'll go back to the beginning. I mentioned it, I think earlier maybe, but I'm from Texas, and I really enjoyed that song, Come Holy Spirit. It's not a song I hear real commonly, but my church sang it pretty regularly, and it brought me back some memories of my pastor was the pianist, and he'd go over and play the piano and lead the singing from the piano, and it just brought me some sweet memories of my home church there when I was growing up as a youngster. But so I was born and raised there in Texas in a church that reached out with the gospel. And it was a new church plant, a very small church. It had only been in existence for about a year. My parents had moved into that area and were there. And an interesting anecdote is I was born on a Wednesday, and in those days in the 70s, it was very common for the mothers and the child to be kept in the hospital 2 or 3 days for observation just to make sure things were fine. And I was released on Sunday, and my father was driving us, my mother and I, back home from the hospital, and it was getting towards church time, and they just looked at each other and said, well, let's just go to church. So as an infant, I attended church before arriving home from the hospital. So, you know, just kind of an interesting thing there. And, you know, I'm sure in a crowd this size, there are many folks here who you were reached at an early age, or you were raised in a good gospel-preaching church that reached out with the gospel. On the other hand, the video mentioned, my wife never even heard the gospel until she was 18 years old. And I'm sure in a crowd this size, there are also those who came to Christ at a later time, either for whatever reason, or you didn't even hear the gospel until a later time. But God put us together, and he's using us. And I just want to remind you that no matter when you came to Christ, and no matter what's in your background, God still wants to use you. Amen. And God still has a plan for each and every one of us. And that plan might be for one of you, or some of you, to leave this area and go to the mission field. I mean, I don't know. God does. So just a reminder, be willing to do whatever God has for you, because his plan is the best plan. So again, you know, my church reached out with the gospel. I can remember as a little child, you know, having some stack of tracts and going out with my mother on Thursday morning, ladies soul winning. And on Saturday with my father, he drove a little 28 passenger white little bus for the church and would pick up children and teenagers and families and bring them to church. And so I heard the gospel even starting in the nursery even and in the primary department and things. But as a second grade young boy, I'm so grateful to my Sunday school teacher. So he was a retired military person. He had served in the U.S. Marines. And while he retired, he didn't just say, I'm going to keep my pew warm there at church. He went to the pastor and said, Pastor, is there some way that I could serve? Is there something I could do to help? And the pastor said, could you teach a Bible story to little boys? And he said, I could do that. And I'm so grateful to Brother Granham for that, because that Sunday morning, July 12, 1981, as a second grade little boy, he gave the Sunday school lesson, and at the end of the Sunday school lesson, he said, now boys, is there anyone here this morning who you don't know for sure that when you die that you'd have your home in heaven? And I'd heard the gospel before, but that Sunday morning, it clicked. And I said, Brother Granham, I don't know. I want to know how I can go to heaven. And he took his Bible and showed me what God says in his word, how that I could know for sure that I'd have my home in heaven. And if there happens to be anyone in this room today who you've never had that specific time or specific place, then today could definitely be that day. You know, when I was in China, most of the people I spoke to were atheists. But why were they atheists? They were atheists because their government taught them that they were atheists. But in many other parts of the world, I've met people, and they say, well, this is the belief system that I have, And I say, oh, when did you choose that? And most of those people will say, I was born this way. I was born a Muslim. I was born Hindi. I was born with these different beliefs and things. But a Christian, we're not born physically like that. We choose it. And on that Sunday morning, I chose Christ and came to Christ again and continued on in church. My wife, on the other hand, her family moved from the Philippines to the Los Angeles region of America. And when she was 18, she had a cousin named Kathy who was living at their home with them. And a lady, soul winner from a church reaching out with the gospel, invited Kathy to come to church. It was for the purpose of, there was an activity they were having, and it was for the purpose of hearing the gospel. And of course, this was before the days of cell phones and social media and emails and stuff like this. And she just got their home phone number. And Kathy didn't come that first time, but that lady called back a second time. And Kathy didn't come the second time. And that lady called back a third time. But Kathy didn't come the third time. And she called back a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a seventh. And about that eighth time, Kathy turned to her cousin, my wife, Marianne, and said, Marianne, you know, this lady was really nice. I met her, but now she won't leave me alone. She's polite, but she's persistent. And she's inviting me to go to this Christian church. And I've never been to a Christian church before. I don't know what it's all about. But you know what? If you'll go with me, then I'll go. And then if we don't like it, at least we can tell them to go away and leave us alone. We already tried that. And so Marianne said, sure. And so Kathy and Marianne went to church and they heard the gospel for the very first time in their life. And it was very new to them. Again, they had been raised in a tradition that said, well, yes, Jesus died on the cross, but you also, it's dependent on you and how good you've been and how you've kept the commandments and how you've kept these traditions. And if you're good enough, then maybe God might let you get into heaven. And so learning that it's all on Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, it was very new to them, and they didn't come to Christ that first time. But when they left there, they said, you know what? There was something there. The people were friendly, and there was something there. And it was the truth, of course, but it was the love of Christ and what the people showed. And when a visitor comes through your doors, and when they leave, they should say, there's something there. And it should be that love of Christ that's in us that we're sharing, that's coming out of us, and that truth of Christ and the truth of the gospel. And so they ended up coming again. And it took some time for them to work through and say, I can fully rest in Christ alone and his death on the cross. But about 2 months later, my wife came to Christ, and as a result of that one lady who didn't give up and didn't say, well, I've called Kathy six times, and I guess she'll never come. She made that extra call. And as a result of that one lady and her persistence, almost my wife's entire family has come to Christ. And I'm so thankful to that church for reaching out to the gospel, but for that individual not giving up. And it's just to testify, you may have somebody in your sphere of influence, maybe a coworker, maybe a neighbor, maybe a relative, and maybe you have invited them before for something. Maybe you have invited them multiple times before. But would you ask again? Would you reach out again? Would you be persistent again? Because I don't know if my wife or her family would be saved today were it not for the persistence of that lady there. So I'm so thankful to her for that. We do have the teens in here and the young folks here. So I'm going to tell a piece of my testimony. When I was a teenager, I knew I was saved, and I knew that, you know, when I died, I was going to go to heaven. And also, I was enough of a Christian to say, well, if I knew that Jesus wanted me to do something, well, of course I would do it. And I think any Christian here, if we say, I'm bought by the blood of Christ, and I know that when I die, I'm on my way to heaven, I know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I owe him everything. And that should be our attitude. And so my attitude, I would have said with my mouth, you know, I'm willing to do whatever God wants. If Jesus wants me to become a preacher, or Jesus wants me to be a missionary, or Jesus wants me to be a plumber or an electrician or an architect or whatever he wants me to do, I'd be happy to do it. He just needs to tell me. And as a teenager, after I graduated from high school, I would have had that attitude. And if anybody would have asked me, are you willing to do what God wants you to do? I would have said, absolutely. But I was waiting for the big 70-foot Jesus to step down and say, Daniel, do this. You know, or the coach bus with the billboard on the side. Hey, Daniel, you're going to be a missionary to China. That's just not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. And, I honestly, for a couple years, I had the attitude of, Jesus, I'm willing to do what you want. But here, look up here. This is how I was. And teenagers, I think some of you and young people and even older people can get this same attitude. But I had the attitude of, hey, Jesus, I'll do anything you want. Just tell me. Oh, by the way, Jesus, I don't hear what you want me to do, so I'm just going to do what Daniel wants to do. And when you want to get my attention, you just talk to me. And unfortunately, I went through a phase of life for a couple years where I was like that, where I would have said with my mouth, I'm willing to do whatever God wants, but I just wasn't listening for him. And Jesus isn't going to step down in person and get in my face and tell me what to do, but he is going to speak to me through my prayer and my Bible reading. Unfortunately, I got away from that. He's going to speak to me in preaching. Unfortunately, I was working a job, and I took God out of first place, and I put my job up in first place. And so I was letting them schedule me on all-day Sunday and schedule me on midweek service and things, and so I wasn't getting my preaching either. And, but I'm so thankful to my brother and sister. They talked me into going to a Bible preaching conference for teenagers. Just like y'all at the end of this week, it was a youth conference. And I was like, I've got the time off work. Sure, I'll go. And I went to that preaching conference, and that's what the preachers were talking about. They said, you say that you're willing to do what God wants, but you're not listening. And I said, well, yeah, that's me. And just some different thoughts they had. And one of the thoughts they had was, would you be willing to consider giving God 1 year of your life and go to Bible college? And I don't know that Bible college is for everyone, but for me at that time, I needed to step away from the world and give God the priority back. And I said, you know what, God? Yeah, I'll give you 1 year at Bible college. Take some extra Bible classes, dig into the Word and things like that, and just kind of spend a year kind of praying about my future. But, God, I've got these obstacles in my life. And there, I had a list of 5 things that kept me from going to Bible college that fall. And this was July, and, Bible college was starting up just 7 weeks later. And I said, you know what, God, maybe I can work it out by next year. Well, the problem is when God speaks to us, if we don't answer then, what are the odds we're going to answer a year later? Not very good. But I said, you know what, God, if you'll care for these 5 obstacles, then sure, I'll go to Bible college. 7 days later, all of those obstacles were gone. And I said, well, okay, I'll go. I opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back, as the Bible says. And so about 7 weeks later, I was enrolling in Bible college. And I went that whole year and still didn't know exactly what I wanted, what he wanted me to do. But I did get back in my word. I did get back in my prayer time. I did get under preaching. And I got into a position where I could hear. I took the hands off my ears. I cleaned my spiritual earwax out of my ears. And I was listening for that still small voice that God speaks to us in many times. And the video mentioned he called me to world missions when I went on a missions trip to Guatemala. And I will mention, if you've never had the opportunity to go on a missions trip, I highly encourage it if you ever get that opportunity. Yes, the missions, the prayer letters and the videos and things, those are wonderful. And having missionaries come, that's great. But there's something about seeing it yourself and I'll mention that. I'll talk about that a little bit later in a few minutes. But just God called me to world missions, and he said, you know what? Now that you've been listening to me, now you can hear me. And I'm so thankful for that. We did end up going to China, the video mentioned, and we were there over six years, and my three boys were born there. We came back in 2010 due to a medical situation, and I didn't understand it at the time, but we had to come back to the States, and it took several years to work through, and life added a couple more years. But in 2018, I was just praying. I'm like, God, I know that you want me to serve you in the area of world missions. We've cared for these other issues. I'll back up there. For those 8 years, for some of that time, I honestly felt like I had been just kind of set on a shelf. Maybe like Joseph when he was in prison, and he's like, "What did I do?" And he's sitting there in prison. Well, God was bringing his timing around. And there might be somebody in this room who maybe you feel like you've been put on a shelf, or maybe you feel like you're in a holding pattern, or you're just kind of waiting on God. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. You know, our family stayed faithful in church and faithful in the ministries and things like that. And God brought us out of that. And he showed us it's time to get back to the mission field. But this time, I'm going to send you to the Philippines. And I'm like, okay. And he reminded me, well, you married a lady who's from the Philippines. She speaks Tagalog, which is the main language. And she has dual citizenship, and your children have dual citizenship, so they don't even have to get visas. And then the video mentioned it. While we were in China, in addition to our Chinese ministry, we actually had an international church that was 90% Filipino, really a Filipino church that I pastored for 2.5 years. And he said, I put those things in your life, and you might not have understand them fully at that time, but now you can understand why I've put those in your life. And maybe God's putting some things in your lives that you don't necessarily understand now. Again, just stay faithful. He'll bring you through, and he'll show you the why eventually. And, you know, and if we never get the full reason here on earth, we will get the reason later. I truly believe that. And so we're headed to the Philippines. We've been on deputation now, and we're wrapping it up, actually. We'll be there this fall, Lord willing, probably somewhere between September and November. And so we're just finishing up our deputation, and we're excited to be here. I know that I spent a long time on my testimony. I feel that there were some principles and some spiritual things that might could help some folks. We're going to turn to the book of Matthew, and we're going to have again, I know that I used some of my time on that, so we won't be lengthy. I know some of the teenagers, their stomachs are about to implode from hunger, my boys included. So we'll go to the book of Matthew, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 9. And hopefully none of your other missionaries spoke from this passage, but even if they did, I think this is something helpful. It's going to be short, Matthew chapter 9, and we'll just read verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 through 38, and I'll go ahead and read those verses. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these folks that are here. We thank you for those who want to be here but couldn't be here today due to sickness or travel or different things, Lord. I pray that you'd be with me in these next few minutes. Holy Spirit, guide my words and give all of us ears to hear what you have for us today. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I will mention, I know there's a break, and I know that the afternoon service, I hope that all of you who are here, or many of you who are here, will be back for the afternoon service. I do have something that I think will be a help and will be a blessing to you. So I hope many of you will be back for that. So this morning, we're going to take a few minutes, and we're gonna ask a simple question, and I believe from this passage, we're going to find two simple answers. So the simple question is, why do missionaries go? Why do missionaries go? Now, to understand that first, let's say, what is a missionary? And it's very, very, very simple, okay? A missionary is just a Christian who does what a Christian's supposed to do in another country. So a Christian is supposed to tell others about Christ. And again, I would hope that we would have the heart to do so. And a Christian who doesn't tell others about Christ, maybe they're a brand new Christian and they don't know how. Okay, that would be an acceptable reason. You know, you're brand new and you don't know how and you just need some training. But a Christian who's been a Christian for a while and doesn't share Christ with others is unfortunately not an obedient Christian, because Christ came into this earth to save sinners. And that was his whole purpose. And I know Easter was just recently. The whole reason that he came to earth and died on the cross was to save you and me and to save everyone else. And it's our job to share that gospel with others. And so a missionary is simply a Christian doing what a Christian's supposed to do, that God just moves to another country. That's just a very simple definition. Okay, but why do they go? Why do they go? I will say, and of course, I'm an American. I'm from Texas, and y'all are Canadians. And I know that America and Canada are not the same. I would never say that. But they do have many similarities. And we would say that they're first world countries, okay? There are many countries that we would call third world countries who do not, they're very poor and have poverty, and those people would love nothing more than to get to here, to Canada, America, or some of the first world countries. So I'm going to say, why would a missionary leave Canada, America, a first world country, with the comforts and conveniences, and go to another place like that? Okay, I'll be maybe facetious a little bit. When I went to China, why did I give up my beverage of choice, Dr. Pepper? You know, I'm a Texan, and many Texans love Dr. Pepper. Well, I can't find Dr. Pepper in China or the Philippines. You know, I love Mexican food. Tacos and enchiladas. Y'all like Mexican food up here in Canada? You know, carne asada. Ooh, that skirt steak, tacos. Ooh, my. You can't find that in China. And pretty much you can't find that in the Philippines. Maybe in Manila or something like that. But, you know, why did I give up that? You know, for people who love salads, you're like, well, I can find vegetables all over the world. Yes, you can. But you can't find salad dressing. I couldn't find ranch dressing. I couldn't find Italian dressing. I couldn't find French dressing. I couldn't find any dressing. The only thing they had was mayonnaise. That was it. So, you know, and I'm being a little funny, but missionaries do give up some of those comforts and conveniences. I mean, cheesecake? You know, I did finally find a store like 2 hours away that had a version of cheesecake that, you know, stuff like that. All I'm saying is, but to be a little more serious, why did I let my wife give birth to our three sons in a hospital that literally looked like it was straight out of a movie from 1950s? And there are many, many missionaries who deal with a medical establishment that's not on the level of Canada or America. Why would they do that? When so many people are trying to get into our world, why would we leave this world and go to their world? Why, and this is probably the hardest thing, why would a missionary take his children away from their grandparents, where they only get to see them for a few days every 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, in some cases 7 or 8 years. Why would a missionary do that? Move away from their family. Yes, we have, you know, phones and FaceTime and stuff like that, and that helps. But why do missionaries do that? I'm going to give you 2 simple answers that we find from this passage as to why missionaries do that and why they go. The first one, in verse 37, this is Jesus. He says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Number one, I believe missionaries go because they're sent. Missionaries go because they're sent, because God sends them. Now you'll notice in verse 38, the Bible says, "Pray ye therefore." I believe somebody was praying for China. And then the Lord said, "Well, I'm going to send Daniel and Marianne Williams to China." I believe somebody's been praying for the Philippines, and that's why he's sending us there. And you support other missionaries. Somebody's been praying for those countries, and that's why those missionaries went. Now this is a command. Yes, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, but I fully 100% believe this is given to all Christians. And I will say, and I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but in the last year, since your last missions a year ago, how many countries of the world have you prayed for that God would send more laborers? There's about 200 countries in the world. I mean, some count them as 190, some count it as 225. But is there any country in the world that you've prayed that God would send more laborers? Canada sure needs more laborers. I've heard of churches that have been without pastors for years at a time. America sure needs laborers. I know of counties, there are counties in America, and I'm sure the same in Canada, where more than 10,000 people live in this county, and there's not a gospel-preaching church in that county. So yes, America and Canada and this world needs more laborers. But if you were to look at the number of gospel-preaching churches per capita and compare our world to some of those other countries in the world, it's no comparison. There's a great need. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So number one, are we praying for more laborers? Because God wants to send. God is still in the business of sending laborers. And if Jesus sat down next to you today in today's service and tapped you on the shoulder and said, "I want you to go," would you be willing? What if he tapped you on the what if he tapped your child on the shoulder and said, "I want you to go"? Would you, as a mother or father or grandfather or grandmother, would you be willing to let them go? Or would your attitude be, "Not my son"? I know that you sent your son to our world, but not my son or daughter. I have plans for them. They're going to live in a house less than 5 miles away from me, and I'm going to get to play with my grandkids. You call that other kid over there, you know, the weird one over there. Don't hinder those who are called. Amen. Don't hinder. A true story, I was at another church and talked to a father. It was a father and his wife, and they had one daughter. And they just had one child, and she was a senior in high school. And he came up to me privately at the end of the service, and he said, "Could I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Pray for my wife. My daughter, she's going to be graduating later this year, and she feels that God wants her to serve him with her life. She wants to go to Bible college, but my wife is pushing her to go to medical school. My wife wants her to become a doctor." And his wife says she's a Christian, but she's not willing to give her daughter for Christ. That's so sad. Are you willing to go yourself, but are you willing to let others in your sphere, your children, go? God is still sending laborers, and he may choose you. So number one, why do missionaries go? Missionaries go because they're sent. Why are they sent? Because somebody prayed. And if you couldn't answer that question very well, pick a country. There's no wrong country. There's no wrong area in the world that we could pray for that doesn't need more gospel witness. So please pray for more. And then number two, why do missionaries go? Why do the laborers go out into the harvest? And of course, you have your own harvest right here. But in verse 35 and 36, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I believe the second reason, the second simple answer, why do missionaries go? It's because of mercy or compassion. Do we see the lost and dying world that is literally going to hell as Jesus did? Do we look at those? Do we realize that those neighbors, and yes, maybe we've invited them before. Maybe we've reached out with the gospel. Maybe we've tried to give them a tract before. But do we really understand they're going to die and they're going to be in hell one day if they don't receive Christ? And do we pray for them? Do we reach out with them with the compassion for the lost that we need to have? You know, the Bible says in the book of Jude, and some have compassion, making a difference. Do we make a difference? We have the truth. We've got the truth. We've got our ticket to heaven. You know, I've got my ticket and I'm good. But how about all of those around us? There are some people in your sphere of influence that you might be the only, their only gospel witness. Do we have the mercy and compassion? Why do we go? Again, missionaries are just Christians doing what a Christian's supposed to do, just going to another country. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then, you know, just putting some money in the offering plate saying, yeah, I'm going to send some laborers into the harvest over there, but I'm going to ignore the local harvest. That's not what Christ wants. He wants us to serve as well. Amen. And your missionaries that are out there need you to stay strong. And you, I mean, you're partnering. So you're representing them here and they're representing you there. So why do we go? We go because we're sent. God sends all of us into the harvest. And even those of us who may be older or maybe our bodies are a little frailer, there's still something you can do. You can have a prayer ministry. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your missionaries. Your missionaries need it. But no matter what it is, you can do something. Pray and go. And let's have mercy. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for this reminder. Lord, may I be motivated to do more in reaching out with the gospel where I can, but may all of us be motivated to serve you, to go out into the harvest, whether it's local or abroad, and be willing to go if you would tap us on the shoulder and tell us to go out and not hinders those who you might call. And may we have compassion to see the lost as you do. We ask this in your name, Father. Amen.